Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And this morning, we're going to be talking about beating the holiday blues. Beating the holiday blues. On January 25th of 1990, Avianca flight 52 from Colombia, South America, crashed just 15 miles short of New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport. 73 of the 158 people on board were killed. The reason is that the plane just simply ran out of gas. Now, under international regulations, an airliner must carry enough fuel to reach its destination as well as its intended alternate destination as a safety precaution, plus another 45 minutes to handle delays. Well, heavy fog was limiting arrivals and departures at JFK Airport, and only one runway was open. There were 33 flights trying to land every hour on one runway. And as Flight 52 entered U.S. airspace, it was instructed to engage a holding pattern three different times on its way to JFK, once at Norfolk, Virginia for 16 minutes, once in Atlantic City, New Jersey for 27 minutes, and once 40 miles south of Kennedy Airport for 46 minutes. So there's a total of 89 minutes that it's already spent. That used up its reserve fuel supply where it could have went to Boston, its alternate site. It took another 37 minutes to get to Kennedy. On its first approach, severe wind shears of 80 miles an hour and a half-mile visibility caused them to miss their landing. And so as they circled around trying to get another approach, they ran out of fuel 10 minutes later, and they crashed, causing just a horrific, horrific tragedy. What is sad is that at 8:45 p.m., one of the Avianca pilots requested a priority landing when instead he should have requested an emergency landing. And because that exact word emergency was not used, they were just stuck at the end of the line, and so everyone else landed instead of them. If they would have used the word emergency, they would have been bumped to first place and could have landed. And the moral of the story, the point that I want us to realize, is many times we exhaust ourselves and we run low on fuel supplies, personally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That really happens at the holidays. And here's the thing, when we are running low, it is not a priority to get refueled. It is an emergency. And we need to evaluate our lives. If we feel we're running low, we need to become refueled. And, you know, during this time of year, it's really easy to get low on emotional, spiritual, personal fuel. How many have found that out? I mean, for many of you, it started Thursday night. You know, hitting the stores, and then Friday morning, there is the Christmas shopping. And then there's the wrapping all the presents that you shop for. And then there's the delivering of the presents to friends and to coworkers and to neighbors. There's the decorating of the tree and the house and the lights outside and all that. How many spent some time decorating this past weekend? Many of you did. I know we spent some time decorating. Our tree is up. Thank you, Jesus. There's Christmas lights to look at. There are Christmas concerts to go to, Christmas parties to go to, Christmas parties to plan, family get-togethers, which involve house cleaning, cooking big meals, packing up your presents and your clothes, loading up the presents and the clothes, driving, and when you're all done, packing up more presents and stuff than you took in the first place, but it's not packed as tight, so it's a lot more difficult to pack in your car, coming back home to tons of laundry to do, and then you have to put all of the decorations away and all that stuff, and friends, that's just one side of the family. One side of the family. All of this can lead to the holiday blues. That time where after the last present has been torn open, after the last Christmas carol has been sung, after the last ornament's been put away, the last cup of eggnog has been down, we kind of have this empty, down, depressed feeling because the holidays are over. It can happen because we've been so busy and we're low on fuel. Or sometimes it's because we're just going through a difficult time, and it's like at the holidays, if you're going through a difficult time, it's like the holidays make whatever state you're in even greater than what you would normally feel. And for some of us, the holidays are very painful because we've lost a loved one. Sometimes it's through death. Sometimes it's through divorce. Sometimes it's through distance. And whether it's the difficulty or it's the loss of a loved one or whether it's just being run out of fuel, we can go through the holiday blues. And so this morning, I want to give you some practical steps, because starting in January is not the time to defeat the holiday blues. It begins now in the beginning of December. So you're good. You've got 31 days to work on this, okay? I'm going to give you some practical steps on how to beat the holiday blues. How many of you ever went through the holiday blues before? Several of you have. All right. Well, let's take a look at Luke chapter 2. This is our text this morning. It says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." That's a polite way of saying taxed. Am I right? Going on, it says, "This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' Then a whole bunch of angels appeared. They sang, and the shepherd says, 'Hey, let's go see what we've been told.' In verse 16, it says, 'They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things who were told them by the shepherds.'" Verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told them. And when 8 days was completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." As we look at the nativity account here in Luke chapter 2, we can see that this was a very busy, very stressful time for Mary and Joseph. First of all, they are supposed to get married. But then Joseph calls the marriage off. But then an angel appears to him, and so they do get married. But then they're getting taxed, and so they have to move to Bethlehem. In fact, they don't have to move, but they do move. So they pack up all of their belongings. I wonder if part of the reason they were moving is because of the stigma of Mary giving birth to an illegitimate child. And to get out of that, they're leaving all family, all friends, everything that is familiar. They load up all their possessions and they take it with them to Bethlehem. When they get to Bethlehem, there's no place for them to stay, so they end up in a barn, in a stable, and Mary gives birth to the little Jesus, laid him in a feeding trough. Do you realize that's what a manger is? A manger is a feeding trough where the cows and the sheep slobber. You know, why don't we sing it? Away in a feeding trough, no crib for. It just doesn't have the same ring. We have sanitized the Christmas story, but I want you to imagine what it was like for this new mom and dad. And they're giving birth to the Son of God, and they're in a barn, and they're putting their child in a feeding trough. And then they finally do move into a home, and they set up shop, and they begin to live there. They went through a very stressful, hectic time in their lives. What do we do when we go through hectic times, stressful times, difficult times? How do we beat the holiday blues? Joseph and Mary are going to teach us. There's three things that I'd like us to look at today. If you're taking notes, point number one, we need to take time and to think and meditate on the Lord. Take time to think and meditate on the Lord. Look at verse 19. It says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word pondered means she kept thinking about them over and over. It's not like it was on her mind and then she just forgot about it. Instead, she's thinking about all that the angels had told her about. She probably remembers when the angel appeared to her. She remembers when she went to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And when she walks in the door, the baby that Elizabeth is pregnant jumps in the womb. And Elizabeth, by a revelation of God, says, you're carrying the Messiah. She's thinking about all of the things that had happened, how God brought Joseph back to her, the love of her life. She's thinking about the shepherds that have come, that have found them in a feeding trough, and what the angels have said, and she just ponders them. She's replaying the faithfulness of God, the promises of God. Over and over, she meditates and thinks about those things. And friends, that is a great lesson for us, because many times we come into the Christmas season and we rush, and the result is that it depletes us. And Mary spent time focusing on God, and we would do well to do the same. How do we do that? Well, take a look. Well, what do you think? We can praise and worship God. You can listen to CDs. Do you have some worship CDs you like? Just get a CD, plug it in, get alone in some room in the house. Just take some time worshiping God. Just praise and worship Him. Praise can do something. Or if you can't find a place in the house, pop it in your car and just drive around town and begin to praise and worship God with some windshield time. Take some time to meditate on God through praise and worship. Or you can read the Psalms and write down what it talks about, God's faithfulness, God's goodness in your life. Or get up a half hour early and just reflect over this past year. How has God been faithful to you? Begin to journal. Think about some of the struggles God has brought you through, some of the answers to prayer, some of the victories, some of any miracles you have seen in your life. Meditate and journal down what the Lord has done in your life. Another thing you can do is have a dog day. You know what a dog day is? Day away with God, a dog day. All right? Just maybe take a Saturday and say, I'm just going to go somewhere and get away with God. Maybe plan a retreat in February. Go to a hotel room, find someone who's going to be gone, say, can I come to your house and just get away with God, plan a time with God. Here's a great one, fast a meal. Isn't that appropriate coming off of Thanksgiving? I mean, how many of us could probably go without a little bit of food for a while? Fast a meal. Your normal lunch hour, hey, come to the church here and just take your lunch hour and pray and worship. The sanctuary is open throughout the day, and just take some time with God. You can fast a meal. Or if you really want to get into prayer and fasting, coming up in January, we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting, just like we did in August. We're going to do that again starting on January 5th through the 25th. We're going to have the sanctuary open every day from 12:12 to 1:12, okay? You say, why 12, 12? You're just going to have to stick around and wait till January 5th, and we'll tell you why 12, 12. All right? From 12, 12 to 1, 12, we're going to have a little bit of worship. We're going to be praying. We're going to be fasting as a corporate body, and you can take some extra time with God on that. And then the last one, just be quiet before God and wait on Him. Sometimes we're in such a rush that we come to our devotions and, God, do this, do that, do this, do that. Help me here, help me there, help this, help so-and-so, help her, help him. And just be still and know that He's God. If you don't know how, I encourage you to come to our Power of a Whisper 9 a.m. discipleship group. iConnect group meets right up here above the sanctuary, and we'll teach you how you can hear from God, how you can be quiet in His presence. Think and meditate on the Lord. Those are some practical tips. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall be burnt out. Is that what it says? No. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Think of a wick. If you have a wick in a lantern that is soaking in the oil, as you light the wick, it's the oil that burns. The wick pretty much stays intact. But if there is no oil in the lantern, then the wick burns. And friends, in our lives, if we are not soaking in the presence of the oil of the Holy Spirit, we are going to burn up and burn out. And so we need these soaking times, times to be saturated with God, meditating on God, and that will help us not to burn out, not to be exhausted. It will replenish and refuel us. So taking time to think and meditate on the Lord is the first key to beating the holiday blues. The second key to beating the holiday blues, if you're taking notes this morning, is to settle into a routine. Settle into a routine. The holidays make it very easy to get out of our normal routines, and when we get out of our normal routines, it's not long before we find ourselves running on empty. After Mary and Joseph had a baby, they did not stay living in the stable. Do you realize that? They found a place to live. They got out of the barn as soon as possible, and they established themselves in a pattern of normalcy. Matthew chapter 2 records the visit of the wise men, and notice that the wise men did not come to the stable. Did you realize that? Every nativity, including ours, we show the wise men at the stable by the manger. But do you realize, biblically, the wise men never came to the stable? Take a look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. It says, and when they had come into the house, they came into the house where Joseph and Mary were living. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Mary and Joseph knew that to have a healthy home, we have to have a healthy marriage and a healthy life. And the way to do that is to settle into a routine, get into a pattern of normalcy in our lives. And many times during the holidays, that's all chucked out the window. So here are some routines you and I need to really focus on during the next 31 days to beat the holiday blues. Are you ready for the first one? Keep a normal bedtime. Okay? That's tough with all the Christmas parties and the Christmas concerts and the Christmas programs and the shopping and all the wrapping and everything you have to do. But keeping a normal bedtime so that you can get enough rest is essential. This is a personal routine. Another one is your devotions. Keep your regular devotions. Another one is exercise. How many could use a little exercise? And it's a routine of exercise. It gives you energy. Dates with your spouse is another important one. Make sure to schedule date nights with your spouse through the month of December. How many have had some date nights on the calendar already? One, two, all right, three. Some of you are looking at your calendars right now. Okay, I got it. I'm raising my hand. Schedule date nights with your spouse when you get home from church today. Also, schedule time with your kids. When are some family nights? Or when can you take your kid out for a Coke or a Big Mac? But just taking time in the midst of the busyness for your important relationships. Schedule those times in. Laundry and chores. You know, try to stick on the things you have to do. Try to get those things done in your regular routines. And the last one is a routine saving for Christmas presents. Now, some of you say, I have 25 days to save for Christmas. Okay, this one might not work this year, okay? But you can begin a budget now. In fact, if you don't have a budget for Christmas, go home and figure out how much money you have to spend on Christmas. If it's $200, then that means your presents for your spouse, for your children, for your parents, for coworkers, for the kids' parties at school and the kids' parties at church, and gifts for teachers, all of that needs to fit under $200. That sounds really tough to do. Well, then you're going to have to figure out how much does each person get. And I would advise giving more to your wife and kids than you do to the teacher, okay? Otherwise, you might be in the doghouse after Christmas. But budget for Christmas. So many families, they spend or they don't save for Christmas, and they come to Christmas and afterwards, they've got the holiday blues because they've neglected this routine of budgeting and saving for Christmas. Those are some personal routines that you and I need to do. We also need to establish spiritual routines in our lives, prayer and Bible reading. If you have not established prayer and Bible reading as a regular part of being a Christ follower, then that is essential for you to do. If you're kind of at a loss, I really don't know how to pray, go to casperfaith.com and go to our website, go to the media page. We have a series back in August, Teach Us to Pray, and we taught people how to pray and develop your prayer life. It's a great resource if you want to learn how to pray, but develop prayer and develop Bible reading. To develop Bible reading, you can go to YouVersion.com. You can download a Bible app that gives you a calendar of the Bible, and you can begin Bible reading every single day, and in a year's time, you'll have read through the entire Bible. So, prayer and Bible reading. Also, a spiritual routine is witnessing and building relationships with the lost. Jesus just didn't come to earth as a baby in a manger for us to enjoy church and say, "Woo! That was good. That was a good service. That was good worship today." Man, last Sunday night, our praise time, how many came to last Sunday night? Wasn't that an awesome praise time? But do you realize that those beautiful times God gives us is not for us alone? Jesus called us to be the light of the world. And so every day when we get up as we're having our devotions, part of the routine of our devotions is, "Lord, make me your witness. God, help me to be sensitive to who you want me to share your love with today, or to do something nice for, or to be ready to share the gospel with someone. Lord, help me to build a relationship with a lost person. God, open my eyes, use me." So many times our prayer life just kind of pushes aside this aspect of being a witness for Christ, but that focus needs to be a regular routine of every Christ follower, that we're looking to extend the kingdom of God in other people's lives. Another spiritual routine is fasting. You can do it now. You can do it at our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Another routine is giving. Sometimes we can get so busy at Christmas that we forget to return our tithes to God. Or sometimes we overspend on Christmas, and so one of the areas we cut is tithing and giving back to God. And if we want our finances and our lives to be blessed, we need to be faithful in returning the tithe to the Lord. And then the last spiritual routine is going to church. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen people begin to come to church in the month of December, and when December is done, they just kind of fade away and they don't go to church anymore. Get into church and make church part of your routine. when you settle into a routine, both personally and spiritually in your life, it fills you up. It fills up your reserves, and it helps you overcome the doldrums and the holiday blues that we can many times experience. All right, let's look at number three. The last step for beating the holiday blues is get connected. Look at your neighbor, give him a fist pump, and say, get connected. Get connected. Connect with others. Letter A, it's there in your notes. Connect through relationships. You know, so many times at Christmas, we are so busy that we don't take time to get together with Christians, with our friends, and we get so disconnected from people that we feel discombobulated. I know when I get disconnected from people, my life just seems out of sorts. God intended for you and I to be connected with others. Joseph, do you realize for Joseph to set up a brand new business in Bethlehem, he had to start building connections with the people around him. Nobody knew who he was. So he has to build connections, and by building connections, they became established in Bethlehem. And so that is something we need to do, is set up connections. We have a lot of ways for you to connect. One is through our iConnect groups. We have groups Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock. You can come to iConnect. We have groups for all ages and all stages, from little up to gray hair. All right? All ages, all stages, iConnect groups. This Saturday, men's breakfast, 7:30 in the morning. That's a great one. Ladies, there's a Christmas party in here in the sanctuary this coming Saturday. You can connect then. Men, a week from tomorrow is Destination Burger. That's another way for you to connect. Ladies, Tuesday night, there is a Bible study here at the church. You can connect there. Wednesday morning, there is a Bible study. Every week, we show you what's going on this week at Casper Faith. Everyone, take out your bulletin. Open this up. You probably don't even look at this or realize it, but look at this. This week at Casper Faith, there is a whole list of ways to connect. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're doing an iConnect group, Undercover by John Bevere. There are ways for you to connect. God did not intend for you and I to be an island. He intended for us to be connected with the body of Christ. We also can connect in other ways. After church today, if you're going out for lunch, why don't you invite someone to go to lunch with you? You know, it doesn't have to be, you can either Wendy's or Famous Dave's, wherever you're going for lunch, hey, we're going to Famous Dave's. Would you like to go with us? You know, it's Dutch. But just begin to connect with people, or have someone over to your house for leftover turkey, stuffing, and potatoes. I mean, it's always good a second, third, and fourth time. But have people over to your house after church. You're eating anyway, do it with someone else. Connect through that. Another way to connect is make some phone calls. Look around you. Do you see someone who's not here today? Look around you. Just look around. Do you see someone who's not here? Write them down right now and say, I need to call that person this week. Make a connection through a phone call. Do you know a shut-in, someone in a nursing home, or someone who's sick? Maybe plan a visit to them. It might really brighten their day. It'd probably be good to call for, especially if they're sick, they're laid up, or they're a shut-in. But call them and set it up. Or you can serve at our food pantry. You connect with people by serving at our food pantry. Or you could help serve our rescue mission meal that we serve once a month down at the rescue mission. These are a lot of different ways, but begin to connect with people. How do you like playing with Legos? My daughter, my 8-year-old, loves Legos. She's really into Legos right now. Here's something I've noticed about Legos. Legos that we find lost and missing are usually single Legos. The Legos that are connected to other Legos usually never get lost. And there is an important truth there. When we are connected to other people, we don't become lost. It's when we isolate ourselves that we withdraw and we begin to flounder spiritually. So being connected, everyone say, be a Lego. Get connected. So be a Lego today. Start to get connected, all right? Another, and this is the most important one to get connected with, is connect with God through obedience. Connect with God through obedience. Look at verse 21 in Luke chapter 2. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. According to Jewish law, 8 days after a male child was born, they were to be taken to the temple, circumcised, and then dedicated to God. Mary and Joseph obeyed God. They were following the law. They obeyed what the angel said when they called him Jesus, but they connected with God through obedience. And I think the reason the Lord selected Mary and Joseph to be the parents of Christ is because they already had a pattern of obeying God. They were connected with God because they were submissive and they were walking in obedience to Him already. And friends, if we are connecting with God through obedience, we're going to be connected through Him. This morning, I want you to take out a card that's in your bulletin. It says, Beating the Holiday Blues. And in a moment, we're going to celebrate communion. Communion is symbolic of the death of Jesus Christ, where Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The bread symbolizes His body. The juice symbolizes His blood. And Jesus gave His life on the cross for us. And I want you to look at this card. Because the Apostle Paul said, before a person comes and has communion, we need to reflect, we need to examine our lives. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I want us to reflect. We're closing a little bit early today because I don't want us just to rush out of here before the Christmas season begins without taking time to reflect. And there's three things on this card I want you to reflect about. It says, number one, take time to think and meditate on the Lord. Reflect on God's goodness and faithfulness to you over this past year. Write down victories. How have you grown spiritually? Struggles He has brought you through. List specific things you're thankful for. Ponder these things in the days ahead. There is a pen in the seat back in front of you. You can write these things down. Take the time to think and meditate on God. Number two on the back, settle into routines. What routines do you need to establish or reestablish so you can be fully fueled in your life and your walk with God? List both personal and spiritual routines. I want you to think about the routines you've maybe let slip the past few months. What do you need to establish or reestablish in your life? And then number three, get connected. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is low, 10 is high, on how connected you are to other Christians. What groups can you join? What things can you do to build relationships with other believers? And then the bottom one, what areas do you need to obey God in? I want you to pause and say, Lord, show me, has there been something in my life that is not pleasing to you? Is there an area of disobedience? Lord, what do I need to get right with you? I want us to take a few moments this morning and reflect.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.